Chapter 8. The two boys ran on and on towards the village. They were so frightened that they could not speak. They looked over their shoulders from time to time. Every shadow that appeared in front of them seemed to be a man, and made them catch their breath.
"We need to get to the old shed," whispered Tom. "I'm very tired."
At last they reached it, burst through the open door, and fell to the floor. By and by their pulses slowed down, and Tom whispered,
"Huckleberry, what do you think will come of this?"
"If Dr. Robinson dies, I think the murderer will be hung up."
"But who will tell?
We?"
"What are you talking about?
If Injun Joe escapes, he'll kill us then, I'm sure."
"That's just what I was thinking to myself, Huck."
"Let Muff Potter tell if he's fool enough."
Tom said nothing. He was thinking. Then he whispered,
"Huck, Muff Potter doesn't know it. How can he tell?"
"Why?"
"Because he was unconscious at the moment.
Do you think he could see anything?
Do you think he knows anything?"
"Oh, dear, you're right, Tom."
There was a pause. Then Tom said,
"Huck, are you sure you can keep silent?"
"Tom, we have to. You know that.
That Injun Joe is extremely dangerous. He'll kill us. Let's swear to each other to be silent."
"Yes, it's the best thing."
Tom picked up a clean pine shingle, took a piece of red keel out of his pocket, and wrote these lines. "Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer swear that they will be silent about this, and they wish they may fell down dead if they ever tell anything." Tom took one of his needles, and each boy pricked his thumb and squeezed out a drop of blood. Tom wrote the first letters of his name. Then he showed Huckleberry how to make an H and an F, and everything was done. They hid the shingle in the shed. Then they talked in a low whisper for some time. At last they separated, and Tom went home. When he crept in at his bedroom window, it was nearly morning. He undressed silently and fell asleep, glad that nobody knew of his night adventure. He did not notice that Sid was awake. When Tom woke up, there was nobody in the room. He was surprised that nobody had come to tell him to get up. He dressed and went downstairs, feeling sleepy. The family were still at the table, but they had finished breakfast. There was a silence that puzzled the child. He sat down and tried to seem merry, but it didn't help. Nobody smiled and answered him, so he stopped talking. After breakfast, his aunt took him aside. She started to cry and asked him how he could go and break her old heart so. Tom felt very unhappy. He cried and asked to forgive him. At last she forgave him. Tom went to school in a sad mood and took his punishment, along with Joe Harper, for playing hooky the day before. He went to his seat, put his elbows on his desk and his jaws in his hands, and looked plainly at the wall. He felt something hard with his elbow. After a long time, he finally and slowly changed his position and took up this object with a sigh. It was in paper. He unrolled it and saw his brass knob. This final feather broke the camel's back. About noon, the whole village was suddenly terrified with the awful news. It flew from man to man, from group to group, from house to house very quickly. The schoolteacher gave holiday for that afternoon. A knife had been found close to the murdered man, and somebody said it had belonged to Muff Potter. And someone said that he had seen Potter washing himself in the branch about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and it seemed strange to him. It was also said that this murderer could not be found. All the town was going towards the graveyard. Tom joined the procession. At the dreadful place, he moved through the crowd and saw the awful spectacle. It seemed to him a long time passed since he was there before. Somebody took his arm. He turned and saw Huckleberry. They looked at each other for a moment, but nobody seemed to notice this. Everybody was busy talking. Poor fellow. Poor young fellow. Muff Potter will hang for this if they catch him. Tom's eyes fell upon the face of Injun Joe, and he shivered. At this moment, voices shouted, "It's him! He's coming himself!"
"Who?
Who?" "Muff Potter." He stopped. "Look, he's turning. Don't let him get away!" The crowd fell apart now, and the sheriff came through, leading Potter by the arm. The poor fellow's face was pale, and his eyes were full of fear. When he stood before the murdered man, he put his face in his hands and started to cry. "I didn't do it, friends," he sobbed. "Believe me, I've never done it." "Is that your knife?" asked the sheriff, and showed the thing to him. Potter would have fallen if they had not caught him. Then he said, "Something told me to come back and get... Tell them, Joe, tell them. It's no use anymore." Then Huckleberry and Tom stood silent and listened to Injun Joe telling the lie. Somebody asked Potter, "What did you want to come here for?" "I wanted to run away, but I couldn't. I had to return here." And he started to cry again. Then the dead body was removed. Tom's fearful secret disturbed his sleep for the whole week after this. And at breakfast one morning, Sid said, "Tom, you talk in your sleep so much that you keep me awake." Tom became pale. "It's a bad sign," said Aunt Polly seriously. "What do you have in your mind, Tom?"
"Nothing."
Sid said, "Last night you said, 'It's blood, it's blood, that's what it is.' You repeated these words several times. And you said, 'I'll tell you everything.'
Tell what? What can you tell?"
Everything was swimming before Tom, but fortunately Aunt Polly helped him.
"Oh, it's that dreadful murder. I dream about it every night myself. Sometimes I dream that I'm a murderer."
Mary said that she had had the same nightmares. Tom tried to leave the table as quickly as he could, and after that he said he had a toothache for a week and tied up his jaws every night. But Sid watched him very carefully and noticed many strange things in Tom's behavior. Tom became very quiet. Every day he went to the little jail window and brought small things that could make the prisoner a little happy.